Every Tuesday at this time, we talk with Matt Zimmer from the Argus Leader. He follows the University of Sioux Falls. He follows Augustana College and their athletic programs, both teams in the Northern Sun. Also a big baseball fan, and big news today for Tony Vigor, the former O'Gorman great. I tell you what, Matt, he lit it up in baseball in the Northern Sun this year, named the Player of the Year.
Yeah, I was not surprised to see him win that award. I mean, I was actually out there yesterday at practice because I was working on a story on him that will be in tomorrow's paper, so the timing was pretty good on that. But just talking to him and some of his teammates, and especially their coaches, I mean, everyone has just kind of been a little bit blown away by just how good he's been this year. I mean, he had a pretty good career, never really been able to stay healthy, but last year he sort of started to break through a little bit. I think he was all NSIC second team last year. But this year, nobody's been able to get him out. I mean, he's hitting .429. You know, his on-base percentage is almost .500. He's got 10 homers, leads the nation in doubles. I mean, he's just been a horse at the plate. And so, like I said, no surprise really to me that he won that award.
Got the NFL draft coming up on Thursday, but when Major League Baseball has its draft and they go pretty deep, do you think Tony Vigor could get a call?
He's got a shot. I mean, I'd be a little bit surprised. Just in that Augie's had a lot of other really good power hitters in the past that really thought they were going to get a chance to get drafted, and they didn't. I think Mike Loberg was the last position player to get drafted from Augie. But, you know, on the other hand, they've had a pitcher taken each of the last 2 years, so that probably means they're a little bit more on the map. And the other thing is Tony Vigor's been putting up these numbers with the new bats, so to speak. A couple years ago in college baseball, they redid the specifications of the aluminum bats that they use in college baseball, really took some of the pop out of them to try to sort of throw things a little bit back in the direction of the pitchers. Games were getting too high scoring. The numbers were a little out of control. So, I mean, he's putting up the same kind of numbers guys were putting up 3, 4, 5 years ago with bats that aren't nearly as powerful as the other ones. So I think that makes what he's done that much more impressive, and it might make him that much more of a legitimate candidate for a team that wants to take a chance on a D2 guy.
You're a big baseball guy, Matt. How has he grown or developed over the past year the most that he's been able to kind of grow into this Northern Sun Player of the Year award?
Well, part of it was he quit football. I mean, when he came to Augie, originally he was a two-sport guy, and he was one of those two-sport guys that was playing in both sports. You know, you see a lot where someone isn't necessarily getting that much playing time in one of the other sports. Tony was getting on the field as a safety for the football team. He was starting as an infielder on the baseball team, but I think it was becoming apparent to him and to the coaching staff from both teams that, you know, he was going to kind of have to pick one or else face the possibility of never really realizing his potential in either one of them. So once he focused on baseball, I think that helped him. And the other thing is, he's just a kid who's worked really hard in the off season in the weight room. I mean, you hear about that a lot in football, but Tony really attributed a lot of his power hitting to that and just being a bigger, stronger, better player. You can see it. I mean, he's a big dude, and, you know, he put in the work and already had the talent, obviously, so those things kind of came together this year, and he's had a really big season.
Northern Sun Baseball Tournament begins tomorrow. Who's the favorite? Is it going to be Augie, or is it going to be Minnesota State Mankato?
Well, there's no doubt that Mankato's the favorite. I think they've won 17 in a row. They have the pitcher of the year, and I think they got a couple other really good arms, too. They only lost 4 games in the conference all year. But Augie's definitely a legitimate number 2, especially because they beat 2 of Mankato's 4 losses came to Augie, and there was also 2 more games that Augie lost to him by 1 run. So they were a couple runs away from potentially sweeping 4 games from him here in Sioux Falls, and they're going to be on their home field throughout the entire tournament. So I don't think that's necessarily enough to say that Augie's the favorite. I still think Mankato kind of has established themselves, especially with what they've done in the past. This isn't really new territory for them. But St. Cloud State's a really good team. Concordia's a really good team. And, you know, even all the way down, you know, Wayne State's the 8 seed, but they've got one of the best pitchers in the league. And when he's on, you never know what can happen. So it's definitely a good tournament in that only taking the top 8 teams in the league, but everyone there deserves to be there.
How about women's softball? How surprised were you that Augie lost back-to-back games?
I was surprised. I mean, it isn't really shocking just because Winona State's that good. I mean, they entered the tournament like 46-7 or something. So
they lost their first game and had to play a ton of games just to get to the championship.
Right, yeah. But so when a team's got a record like they've got, you know obviously that they're capable. It's just the fact that Augie looked so good in the first 2 days of the tournament. I mean, they were just hitting the crap out of the ball, and people were kind of talking about how windy it was out there, and it was windy, but most of those home runs were going to go out of any park, no matter what kind of conditions they were in, and you could really see them sort of starting to develop a little bit of a swagger in the dugout and at the plate, and they just looked like they were so confident that it didn't matter who was pitching, they were going to score 10 runs, and for whatever reason, on Saturday against Winona, that just disappeared. I mean, that confidence and that aggressiveness, I don't know what happened, but they lost it. And they took really bad at-bats all through the day. And, you know, I was really disappointed in how they played. And I was kind of curious to see if Greta Melsted, their coach, would sort of agree with my assessment. I talked to her afterwards, and she did. She said, you know, she even went as far as to say our girls didn't show up. So that's disappointing for them because they'd be at home this weekend, too. If they'd have won that game, they'd be hosting one of the regions right next door to the baseball tournament. But now they have to go on the road, and the good news is their season isn't over yet. They're going to the tournament again, but that's got to be disappointing for them, A, in that they lost a chance to host the regional, but B, they had a chance to be Northern Sun champions, you know, and hoist the trophy and get their picture taken with a banner, and they missed out on that opportunity.
Augie Spring Sports, they've been hot this year again. Tennis, baseball, softball, and golf. Things are going real well for them here this spring. We've talked to Northern Sun baseball and softball. There is a Northern Sun team that's cleaning house here this afternoon, and you got to wonder what took them so long up there at Minnesota Crookston.
Well, it's tough to say because obviously all their sports up there are really struggling. Their baseball team is 2-90 in the last 2 years. I mean, that's a serious number. I'm not making that up. And you know, the softball team I think was 3-34 this year. The men's basketball team, they just made a coaching change. I think they were something like, you know, 4-29 this year or something. And, you know, football's the best team they got, and they're going 2-9 every year. So I think to answer your question, what's taking them so long is it's hard to necessarily say that it's the coach's fault. So I think a lot of times the reason those coaches don't get fired is because there's sort of an understanding that they aren't really being given what they need to win. So you kind of have to balance, okay, how much of it our struggles are because this guy's not a good coach, or how much of it is because this is just a situation where, you know, you're just battling an uphill fight that you can't win. And I think when you get to the point that they're at, you know, 1-47, 1-42 in back-to-back seasons, you've got to make a change just because you don't have any credibility in recruiting. I don't care how smart you are, how good of a coach you are, no one's going to want to play for you when you have that record attached to you. So I do get a sense that that's sort of the attitude they're taking here is, hey, whether or not these coaches have done a bad job, we've got to clean house and try to take another run at this thing and rebuild the credibility or whatever. But that athletic director up there, Stephanie Helgeson, has been there a while, and I would have to assume that if this next wave of coaching changes doesn't get things going in the other direction, she'll be the next one to go, because they just haven't been able to get going in Division II. I mean, this obviously is not a new thing. It's been going on for about a decade now. They've been really terrible at all these sports. And I think it was 4 or 5 years ago they were talking about sort of having this big sit-down meeting with all the school leaders and taking another look at, well, what should we do? Should we stay in Division II? Should we maybe go NAIA Division III, something like that? And they came back and they said, oh, we're recommitting to Division II and we're going to put more resources into it and get this thing turned around. And things have actually gotten worse since then rather than gotten better. So that definitely is, you know, concerning, not just for Minnesota Crookston, but the league as a whole, because they're definitely, when they're just not even able to compete, that's not good for anyone in the league. So, like I said, I think this latest house cleaning is something that kind of had to be done. But if this doesn't get it fixed, then I think once again, that institution as a whole is going to have to sit down and look at themselves and say, you know, can we ever compete at this level, or do we need to look at maybe going somewhere else where we're giving our teams, our coaches, and our players a fair chance?
You know, we joke about it all the time. We're talking with Matt Zimmer from the Argus Leader here in Sports Talk with Craig and Chris. At least I do. I say it tongue-in-cheek, and I can go back to even when I was at North Dakota State back in the late 90s that Crookston was still struggling at everything. And it just makes you wonder why they aren't. I mean, do they have the resources? Do they not? Is it the athletic director? I mean, why shouldn't they just clean house with the athletic director now? If it hasn't worked for several years, what are the odds that new coaches in sports across the board are going to be able to work?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not a good place when you compare it to some of the other institutions. I mean, that's sort of what it comes down to. They don't have the facilities. And Crookston's a small town way up north. It's just not a real attractive place necessarily if you've got other options. You know, what the problem is, even in the sports where Crookston does have some funding, they've bumped up their scholarships in basketball and football now to where they're actually pretty competitive. And I think that's why their football team has gotten noticeably better in the last couple of years. They're finally funding it, and you'd like to think that maybe basketball will fall in line here soon, but it's always going to be a struggle when you've got the worst facilities in the league and you're in a town that isn't really ideal for recruiting kids. So You're always going to be able to get kids to accept the scholarship. You know, if you've got the scholarships to offer, someone out there is going to take them.
That's right.
But the problem is when they're just not able to compete for those best athletes with anyone else, because if all things are equal, if you've got an offer between Minnesota Crookston, Minnesota Duluth, Minnesota Crookston and Bemidji State, Minnesota Crookston and Augustana, you know, I just don't know too many kids who are going to choose Crookston. So, yeah, I think at some point, whether it's making a change in administration or just being honest with themselves and saying, hey, you know, maybe we're just not ever going to compete at this level. You know, they could move to NAIA, and then you can still, because some people are saying, well, why don't they just drop athletics? Well, they need athletics to keep the school afloat.
That's right.
having a football team, having a baseball team, that's how you get male enrollment at your institution. They're not going to get rid of football and basketball because that's 100 kids. But you can still offer those scholarships and still have those teams at the NAIA level. And I think a lot of people from outside, and that includes me, there might be things going on that I'm not totally privy to, but it's easy to look at them and go, gee, you know, maybe at the NAIA level, you can be a 500 team. Maybe you can even be a competitive team, a playoff team, because right now it just doesn't look like there's really any end in sight at the Division II level. Because like I said, football's going 2-9 every year, and that's considered like a major accomplishment. We're not talking about them being 500 or competing for a Mineral Water Bowl or a playoff spot. They win two games, and it's considered like, hey, wow, good job, guys. I mean, if that's your ceiling, where you're winning a couple of league games, I just think you probably belong somewhere else.
I totally agree with you. Totally agree. I'm not blaming it all on Stephanie Helgeson. She's been the AD now for 10 years, because we know ADs are out there to raise money for the school, but they just don't have the other resources. And you know, I know she runs and owns her own restaurant. She's also has a restaurant in Erskine, Minnesota. Hope she doesn't run her restaurant like she does the athletic program up there, because there's no way they'd be making any money there. I just think they are overmatched in Division II, no doubt about it. Matt, what are you working on for the paper the rest of the week?
Well, like I said, I'm actually today working on a Tony story, so that will kind of lead into tomorrow's tournament, which starts, I think it starts at noon. I know Augie plays Southwest Minnesota State at 3:00 at Ronkin Field, and I will be there and kind of sticking with the NFIC baseball tournament through the weekend.
All righty. Hey, Matt, thanks, man. Appreciate the time.
Yep, thanks, guys.
There's Matt Zimmer from the Argus Leader, follows Augustana and University of Sioux Falls athletics. I feel bad for Crookston. I really do.